Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
Truth Be Told Radio. Thanks for joining us once again. And like says, for biblical teaching and preaching, and sometimes we have street witnessing and things like that. Today I've got some things planned for you. There's a book called The Answers Book for Kids, Volume 4, 22 Questions from Kids on Sin and Salvation in Christian Life. So I've got to read one of those excerpts from that book, and maybe later we have stuff maybe from Project Ezra to read some good Bible excerpt. And I see Isaac, he's on the switchboard. Are you there?
Yes, sure am. How you doing?
Good.
How was your week, Melissa?
It's pretty good. Just regular everyday stuff, but the normal is not bad.
All right. Yeah. Our week's been a little crazy, by the way. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. I want to welcome you myself. I know Melissa just welcomed you, but. I feel left out if I don't welcome you. I'm joking. anyway, week's been pretty hectic. I think I ended the week yesterday with I was emceeing. I don't like that master of ceremonies thing, but I was talking, put that way, at a talent show for a local church around here, and they had about 10 acts, and I sang some apologetic songs and. Enjoyed that, and I did. Me and my friend Chris did a skit, and we had fun with that. It was it's an old skit guy's skit called "We Don't Have a Clip," but the great thing about that particular skit is you can make it your own. So we did that. So we made it our own. We made a dance up at the end of it. It was pretty funny. So it's a pretty fun skit to do. But anyway, had fun doing that, and I of course. I also volunteer at Kentucky football games, UK football and basketball. Every chance I get, I go up there, and they really need help ushering people into their seats. So it takes about 300, almost 300 guys to work each section of seats to help people find their seats. So I go up there. So yesterday, a lot of days were really crazy for me. So I was hoping I could. We'll get through that. Go ahead.
I just say, well, it's good they have one guy playing on your name.
Yeah, they only had one guy. Yeah, I finally got my name tag for it. All those weeks I didn't have an identity. People were going, "What's your name? What's your name?" And I got the easiest name. I got the easiest name on earth. And
you're that guy.
People can't, right? I'm just that guy. If someone said, "Hey, I just talked to a guy today," it would be right. So. Anyway, heard all my life he plays on names. Everyone's got, everyone's got, "Hey, that's a pretty neat name." Well, you didn't go through grade school with it, so no, I thank God that I'm named after my father, and I'm not a junior, but I'm named after him. His name is Guy.
I didn't know that.
I mean, named after my father, but I'm not a junior. I've got a different middle name, so. And maybe someday I'll reveal that middle name, but But anyway, I digress. We had fun. I sang, if you want to call it singing, about three apologetic songs. I actually had the crowd come and help me with two of them. I sang We Will Walk Through. We've played it on here before, and I sang Heavenly Hill, and I sang a song called Love and Kisses, but it's actually a parody of Want to Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day. It's I Love the Lord with All My Might, My Heart and Everything. So it's pretty cool song, pretty cool time there. I want to thank Journey Christian Church for having me there, and got to share the law and the gospel there. To maybe some, there were some youth there that were just church kids, and at first they weren't listening, but I believe the Holy Spirit helped them be aware of the situations at hand. I actually stopped talking in the middle, in the middle of a long gospel presentation, and basically said, there's probably someone whispering in your ear right now, because I looked over and seen some youth whispering in each other's ear, and then they stopped. So the Holy Spirit actually made it aware, and I praise God that I got the law and the gospel out there, and God will use that as He pleases. And I had a friend of mine there who was singing in a band there. He was one of the talent show participants, and they sang a couple songs, and one of them he sang, he got pretty emotional in it, and he shared a little bit while he was after he sang, and I praise God for that, because that allowed me, it was a springboard. He actually shared a little bit. It was a springboard for me to go into the gospel. It's a perfect timing, and totally a God thing at that moment. So once again, I appreciate Journey Christian Church in Wood County, Kentucky, for allowing me to speak at that event. It was fun, and now allowing me to MC their talent show. Couldn't stay long, but stayed long enough to do all the things that mentioned. So, appreciate that. Go ahead.
Think of it. The way I've been hearing the gospel lately is I write Penthouse, and there's people like they have these things called friendship books, and it has like people's address, like so you could send them like letters or anything you want to do. And so I've been sending out gospel tracts in the mail to different people.
That is awesome. What I've been doing. That is great. And, you know,
they said no religious thing, but I just put it anonymous. I just put their address and sent it anyway.
Well, of course, they don't want that, but who knows? You're throwing those seeds out there, and they could go to anyone. And I'm glad that you're doing that. I know Tony Mignano, and I hope I get that pronunciation of his last name right. He's Italian. He might seek a way to take me out. Anyway, I hope that I'm glad his advice. And I've heard that he said if you're sick or you can always find your neighbors for that matter their addresses and send us an anonymous letter. Just saying, from your neighbor. You don't have to know who it is or whatever. Just say from your neighbor, send them a gospel. Just send them a letter, small letter, maybe a paragraph or two, and then send a gospel track with it.
He said to use, you could use, like, the white pages to look up people around your neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And also, there's a copy of the letter that he usually uses, or anybody can use, or they could change it a little bit if they want to. It's at his blog spot. It's the Lawman Chronicles on his blog.
Yeah, I've got an article I want to read in our time here today that he has. Says the blog is Lord Save Us from the Emergent Church. I think he went to see that movie Lord Save Us from Your Followers or whatever. And I think he did an article on that. I'd like to read along with Atheist Central, of course. We're going to do. So you've got some stuff from Answers in Genesis.
Well, yeah. If you want to read that now, it's a great.
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and jump in and read that now, that'll give me some time to get some stuff downloaded in here. Plus, anyone has any type of questions, like she's going to be reading from the Answers to Genesis book, which you have any type of questions at all that has to do with what she's talking about or anything at all. The call-in number is 347-884-9505, 347-884-9505. Since it is a weekend, you can use your nights and weekends minutes. It's not a weekday. It's a told call. If you're calling from a phone that you need to use minutes, you can use Skype also, or use if you have any cell phone minutes. But, of course, you shouldn't have to worry about that if you get most people that have a phone coverage, have a phone plan, have nights and weekends. So hopefully able to do that. So 347-884-9505. I'll open up the chat here in just a second. And matter of fact, I'll do it right now. And we're going to read from Answers in Genesis. If you have any questions, you can jump into the chat room. You can call us on the phone. I'll be keeping an eye on the switchboard. And we'll be able to try to answer your questions the best we can available. If you're podcasting, we'll throw our email addresses out there right now. You can go to truthbetoldradio.com. Has some of our information on there. You can also catch me at GODZGUY, God's Guy, at gmail.com. Melissa, go ahead and throw your email out there before we get started.
Okay. It's Bond Servant for Jesus Christ. That's B-O-N-D Servant, S-E-R-V-A-N-T, and then the number 4, and then Jesus spelled J-E-S-U-S Christ, C-H-R-I-S. at gmail.com. Sponsor it for Jesus Christ at gmail.com. And okay, I gotta explain this book a little bit. There's a book series. The original one is called Answers. It's for usually an adult, and this one's the Answers book for kids. And there's more than one volume. This one's volume 4 that I got. I think I got from Amazon.com Amazon.com. And this one says 22 questions from kids. So actual kids, like, wrote in or however they got the questions, they wrote them to them or asked them. And this one says on sin, salvation, and the Christian life. And it's written by Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis. And then it says, with Cindy Mallett, that's M-A-L-O-T-T. And this book, if you want more about their books, to masterbooks.net, M-A-S-T-E-R, books.net, masterbooks.net. And you can get all kinds of Answers in Genesis stuff at answersingenesis.com. And Answers in Genesis, it's a ministry that mainly deals with about like dinosaurs and Genesis, of course, like it says, things like that, things that in the Bible that's like, more like the science stuff of the Bible, and helps you deal with that, like apologetics for it. And they got audio, like a radio thing, and also they have articles, and they even have videos on their website, answersingenesis.com. And I'll just read the introduction to this. It says, for parents and teachers, and here's a verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. Dear moms and dads, let's face it, some questions are just more difficult to answer than others. Did Satan sin first? Why do animals die when they don't sin? Why do I get sick? Did God create tsunami? What is heaven like? Did God create sin? Questions like these asked by our children today can leave us stumped. It seems that after decades of studying the Bible, the more I know, the less I know. How can a book be so deep and rich in new wisdom and knowledge? It is a wonderful, blessed mystery that because his works are so great and his thoughts are so deep, we will continue to learn about him throughout all eternity. Psalm 92:5. As we train up the children in our lives in the way they should go, we must remember to set the example of seeking answers in God's Word, even for the toughest questions. I pray that all children who will be influenced by this book will one day turn to the Bible to find the most important answer, the life-giving answer that eternal life comes through belief, trust, faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that was that part was like Kenneth Ham, so it's President CEO Francis Jansen. And here's the excerpt I'm gonna read. It's the first one in the book. It says, question: why did God create people when he knew they would sin? From Stephen P., age 10, Toronto, Canada. Answer. It uses a verse to start out. It says, oh, the depth of riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways, past finding out. Romans 11:33. And here's the answer. All things have been created by God. To him, give him glory. God is perfect and has complete knowledge of things past, present, and future. Everything he does is perfect. So, Stephen, how do I answer your question? Well, because we know God is perfect, we know that the entrance of sin into the world through Adam and Eve must have been a way to bring glory to God. But how could sin bring God glory? God is holy. He hates sin. And the punishment for sin is death. Well, God had the wonderful plan to save sinners from eternal death through Jesus Christ. Jesus took the punishment for the sins of everyone who would believe in him, even though he had never committed a single sin. Jesus' amazing life, death, and resurrection shows us how great God's love is for us. When we realize all that Jesus did so we could be saved, we want to shout for joy and give God all the glory. By creating Adam and Eve, God created beings to whom he could show his attributes, love, mercy, and so on. And think about it. By doing this, he has enabled us to exist and to be able to spend forever with our Creator. And it has a scripture reference at the bottom. It says Romans 11:36, and here's from the King James Version. It says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And that's our first excerpt from this book. Might read more as maybe on other shows. And once again, that's from the book called The Answers Book for Kids, Volume 4, 22 Questions from Kids on Sin, Salvation, and a Christian Life by Ken Ham, and then with Cindy Mallett, spelled M-A-L-O-T-T. And they also have other ones for kids, because I thought Volume 4, and also ones made for grown-ups as the regular Answers book, and you can get those. You can look at Master Books. .net. Make sure. Yeah, masterbooks.net. Or you can also go to answersofgenesis.com. And that's it for that part. Hope you enjoyed that. And Guy, are you ready?
Yes. Am I ready for what?
I don't know.
I'm joking. I'll see. We'll have to read some more of that. I'd like to towards the second hour. It's interesting. We want to look at some of the questions that are out there. Also, you can Google Christian Worldview Network, and they also have stuff similar to that. They're out along with Answers to Genesis and a lot of the apologetic stuff, like who made God and why does God allow evil in the world and everything. I know Answers to Genesis answers a lot of that. So is the Christian Worldview. That a guy named Brannon, B-R-A-N-N-O-N, House, H-O-U-S-E.
Oh, yeah.
They have a lot of solid stuff, and they deal with questions like that. And I think we need to dig into those because I think some of the simplest questions we can't answer. As a matter of fact, when I was with the second through sixth graders today, I had them in each class just kind of rotate around to me, and we were doing self-portraits, and I was explaining, you know, it doesn't matter what you think of yourself or how you see yourself when you're doing a self-portrait. What matters is how God sees you, how God sees you before you're converted and how he sees you after you're converted. And I explained to them a little bit. Didn't have very much time. They always cut it short, which really depresses me on a lot of fronts because I think all children's ministries are becoming like that. They're cutting short this time and that time for biblical teaching. What I try to get through as much as I can with them. I shared the scripture, Colossians 1:15, about how we were made for God and by God, and we're here to give him glory. And that's one of the questions a lot of people ask, especially the youth of today. Why am I even here? Why was I born? Now, I was trying to help them explain that. I think we need to get back to those questions because if you can't answer questions like that, who made God, why are we here on earth, why are we born, why does God allow evil in the world, if we can't answer those, then what makes us think we can start a conversation with someone and actually get to, you know, obviously the main goal is to get to the gospel when you're talking to someone, but to be able to hold a conversation with someone and actually answer some of their questions biblically. You don't have to have all the answers. If you haven't studied it, that's okay. Say, I really haven't studied that, and I will, and make a commitment to study that because that person's soul is on the line. That person's soul that you may influence is on the line. So I really think I hope you get some of those questions. You can pick a few of them out and maybe read them a little bit later. I think we need to go through that stuff. And it's part of what this show is about also is apologetics.
There was actually a reason why I got that book in the first place was because in case my I have young nieces, and I thought in case they ever asked me questions about God that I didn't know, so I wanted to have some book at least that has some, well, I wanted to buy the other one too, but I just got that one so far, like in case they ask some questions that are like in those books, and but I didn't know how to like answer maybe the right way, so I wanted something to help me if I didn't have it myself, at least have a book. And there's a book that someone has. It's called, I don't know if I forgot the author, but it's called Already Gone.
Yeah, by Ken Ham. Yeah, I've got that. Yeah.
It's funny because that it's saying that most of them, like people think like high school or college, but like most of them are saying that they're already like not even with it, like in maybe by kindergarten because people don't mention like how like there's so much that they need to know. Not just that, for one thing, they said don't say it's a story, which actually I have done. Say that it's more like a history book. It's something that tells past from, but of course, like from God. And I think that's true because people, the kids, they believe the history books in school that they're getting like hours and hours and hours each week, and they only get that usually Bible study for Sunday school class when we make about maybe an hour a week. And that's why, like, they're losing them for one reason, because they make it sound like they have to show them that it's real. Like, we, like,
you
I
could go
before,
through,
like,
yeah.
Like, before but, I mentioned, like showing them, like, the replica of Noah's Ark, or showing them things that, how, like, yeah, this is plausible and real. And they need to learn things like that. I was thinking maybe you could look up that website that you're talking about with Brian House. Maybe you could read something from that.
Christian Worldview. Yeah, there's tons of articles and tons of things. I actually been meaning to save up for a set of books for $40. There's three sets of books. It's Developing Christian Worldviews. They've got Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 1 and 2, and also Christian Worldview for College Students. And what they do for the students is, matter of fact, he gave us an example when I went to one of those Code Blue rallies, which are all around the United States. He had an example. He brought his son up there, and what he did was he had like a merit system, so to speak, where his kids, so-called, they didn't purchase it with their money, but they purchased time by remembering Bible verses and remembering answers to questions. So he brought him up there, and he didn't have a book or Bible or nothing, and he asked his son questions. Who made God? Why are we on this earth? Why does God allow evil? And the kid was just rattling off these verses, and that's just to show that, you know, if we can remember, if young people can remember the name of, you know, Miley Cyrus's best friend on the show Hannah Montana, or what the third Jonas Brothers name is, or the song they sang back in 2 years ago, if they can remember stuff like that, they can remember scripture, and that's what they need to be remembering.
They're so much like a sponge that, especially so young, like 5 years old or 6, 7, 8, like they're so much like a sponge, and at that age, and when the older they get, the harder it is, because, like, just like anybody else, like, when you get older, it's harder to memorize things, but when you're so young, like, you have such opportunity to teach them so much, and that, like it says in the Bible, to do that kind of thing, to teach them while they're young, so that they won't depart from it when they are older.
Yeah, that's what that scripture, I mean, the scripture makes it clear. They will not depart from it. And just give me just a second. I'll find that scripture. It's in Proverbs. I know it is. But, I mean, people make that clear. It makes it clear, I mean, in scripture, is that if you bring a child up the way they should go, and they will not depart from it.
Yeah.
It's not that, well, they'll depart from it or whatever. No, they won't. If you bring a child the way they should go. In this society, the church is trying to catch up with the culture and be relevant enough to say, well, we got to keep their attention. We got to keep their attention. We have to entertain them. No, you don't have to entertain them. You don't. So, well, the Bible, they think the Bible's boring. Well,
that's why I asked them.
Well, that's right, right. Well, they try to keep up with it, try to do that. And to tell you the truth, the beginning of me doing youth ministry, the first couple of years, I was guilty of that. You know, making things up to be relevant, trying to be relevant and get the message across. No, the message don't change. The gospel messages do not change. You don't have to dress Jesus up to make him relevant. He never changes. His word never changes. And his judgments never change. Nothing changes. So why do we want to mess with it? And I know a lot of, you know, a few youth pastors, youth preachers, things like that say, well, you have to get their attention and their attention spans. No, that's a bunch of baloney. I don't care. You can give me any psychologist you want, any Christian psychologist or anybody saying, oh, their attention span is that. No, you just read, if you can redirect it, you redirect it. Obviously, they're pagan, hedonistic. It's a hedonistic society. And if they're unconverted, they're not going to be interested at all. So what we need to do, and I agree with a lot of some of the other solid preachers around the United States, and as well as the Todd Farrell on Wedgwood Radio and Tony Mayano and Drew Morgan and all those on those other radio stations, we need to get back to the gospel, preaching the gospel and preaching it biblically, and don't sway from it. Don't say, oh, we tried preaching the gospel and it's not working. Well, guess what? The gospel is offensive to those who are perishing. It's offensive, and most likely it's uninteresting to some people, but it's the thing that converts. The Holy Spirit reveals it. God converts the person. When they have a regenerated heart, they love and want to do these things. You don't have to be relevant. I've been down that road, like I said. I went down that road trying to be relevant, trying to soften the message to make it more palatable. You're not going to soften the message. The message is going to get stuck in their throat when they swallow it, put it that way. It's going to be uncomfortable. But that's what converts. And once you get someone that God will convert, they come to him in humility, and humble and contrite spirit, they're going to desire to do the things of God. They're not going to want to be made to do it. Well, you've got to do servanthood. You've got to do it. And this whole junk about, well, we're here on this earth for feeding people and clothing people because Jesus said to do it. Well, Jesus may have said to do that, but they need to be converted. And if they're converted, they're going to want to do that stuff. That's the first thing we need to be worrying about is the gospel. That's the number one thing we need to be worrying about is the gospel and preaching it correctly and biblically, not just my way or your way, Melissa, or any other person's way. We preach the gospel that's been preached for over 2,000 years, and because that saves. Chapter 1 of Romans says that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and the salvation.
And also, I think at least if you can't do anything, I think at least read straight from the Bible because I think God will use that if when they're older, like that they'll remember it. Because I remember people just even like they got converted later and they you remember something like the Lord's Prayer or something like that or things like that from the Bible that like God brought to their mind. And just reading from the Bible might be that's enough sometimes. I mean, you should do more, but like if you can't do anything, at least read straight from the Bible and don't like dumb it down. Just like read straight from it. And if they don't understand something, maybe explain it.
Well, I mean, that's the thing too. Scripture can be perverted, which it has been. For instance, the Lord's Prayer. We love the Lord's Prayer. It's awesome. Jesus teaches us how to pray, but it's been mangled. The Catholic community, for that matter, has used it. I've witnessed to a couple of my former youth that said, "Well, I used to say it every night before I went to bed." Well, let me enlighten you. Scripture in many places, namely in the Psalms, says that God will not hear the prayer of the wicked. It falls on deaf ears. Now, that don't mean God don't hear it. It means that God does not respond to the prayers of the wicked. If sin has separated you from God, he's not going to listen to it. So I want to ask yourself, who are you praying to? I mean, who are you praying to when you pray that prayer? You pray the Lord's Prayer. You think that, and so many people, and I'm not just picking on the Catholic community, I'm saying so many people have been duped into thinking that the sinner's prayer, not the sinner's prayer, that's not in Scripture either. The Lord's Prayer, as it's been aptly called, it saves someone. That if you say it every night, then that'll keep you from going to hell. No, not at all. I'm here to say it right now. That's not biblical at all. The Lord's Prayer does not save you, nor can it, even if you pray it. Doesn't matter, you can pray out, but if you're unconverted, it says in Scripture, and I'm trying to find the Scripture right now in Psalms and different places, that the Lord will not hear the prayers of the wicked because that sin God will not and cannot look upon. It's a separation between you and God, and until you're converted, whether he hears it or not, he won't act upon it. Put it that way.
Well, you could take a break. Maybe like you got something that kind of.
We'll take a quick break and get my ducks in a row here, so to speak. Just downloaded an awesome 38-minute sermon by Vody Bauckham called "The Centrality of the Home," and it's awesome. It's a big eye opener. I believe the last sermon we played from Vody Bauckham, it got just people that said they really liked listening to him, and I played a sermon on the gospel. He did a sermon on 1 Corinthians 15 and the fact of the gospel, how it's being kind of mangled. So I just downloaded that. We might play that here in a few. We also have questions and answers with John MacArthur.
Yeah.
People asking questions. I don't know what the questions are pertaining to. Do you know?
No, it's just various different ones. I haven't listened to it yet.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Truth Be Told Radio.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Are you praying for revival? Many are. They aren't seeking the lost. They instead see revival as a sovereign move of God. In doing so, they're handing the job of evangelism back to heaven. In essence, they're saying, we know that you've commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature, but we'll stay here and pray. Your word says, how will they hear without a preacher, but we'll stay here and pray.
You've told us that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, but we will stay here and pray because it sure is easier to talk to God about men rather than to talk to men about God. Don't be like that. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. And one of his commandments is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Proverbs 15:13 says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
How does I follow Paul, I follow Apollos differ from I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian, when Paul seems to say that Christians, and by extension churches, should identify only with Christ? I'm not sure that's what the text says, that you identify only with Christ. What Paul is concerned about is divisions in the church at Corinth that were rooted in pride and caused boasting. The reason I hesitate is because Paul said to them, I'm your father. I was like a midwife to bring you into existence. Imitate me as I imitate God. And it sounds like Paul wants them to love him, admire him, follow him. And then he's an apostle, and he's got authority. So he wants them to submit to his letters when he writes, and he doesn't want that to feel in conflict with Peter. Peter writes his letters, and Peter's got his children, and those who were saved by Peter and those who were saved by Paul surely will have a special affection for their father in the faith, but that doesn't mean they have to be in animosity with each other. So that's what he's concerned about, this boasting. I've got Peter, I've got Paul. So that boasting is wrong. And animosity towards each other, that's wrong. Those are the kinds of things I think he's opposing. Now, I'm not saying that everything about denominational differences is okay. I'm just saying when you have convictions about what the Bible teaches and you are bound to live by those convictions, because Paul says let everybody be convinced in his own mind instead of being always sitting on the fence with every issue. If you're convinced to live, then you're going to find yourself in groups of people that are sharing those convictions, but you don't have to be proud or angry at this other group that say, well, we really do think we should baptize our children. And we say, but it's not biblical. We think it is biblical. And in the same church, you can't work it. You can't work it. And so you have these churches, and you grieve over that somebody's not seeing clearly here, or both of us are not seeing clearly here, and yet you don't have to throw hate bombs over those fences. You can throw love bombs. You can say to the world, and I think the world really, it's differences that give us an occasion to show the world what love unity means. So if a Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Baptist, Pentecostal are sitting in a TV program with Larry King or whatever, they could talk about each other and their vertical commitment to Christ in a way that would make the world say, that's different than the kind of arguments I get into. So I think that's where Paul wants us to go in this text, rather than saying you must give up on your convictions.
Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm Guy Reynolds, a.k.a. General Wretch in the Wretched Chat, or any other chat room for that matter. The voice you just heard was John Piper, and there's something called Ask Pastor John. You can get it on iTunes. Just look on your podcast under Ask Pastor John, or go to Desiring God. I believe it's .org, desiringgod.org, to get those. We'll play a few more of those sometime in the future, if not this next couple hours. So we've got, we want to get some advice here. We've got one person in the chat, and they're in the same position that a lot of people find themselves in club frustration, and wanted to teach the way of the master, and they're real pumped about evangelism. But their church is against it. So they don't necessarily agree with it. They will not go on with it. And whatever God has, I guess, planned, obviously, is whatever God has planned. But let me give you some encouragement that even if your church does not want to do it, don't be surprised, because there are lots of churches that do not want to do it. They want to do evangelism. They'll get right down to it and say it's a great idea. But will they go on through it? No, because why? Because people's priorities change with the wind. People have priorities over here, priorities over there. But, I really think if you look in the book of Acts, their main priority was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Great Commission, what they were sent to do. That was their main thing. They didn't care if they got beaten or torn apart or thrown in prison. And they did it. So I want to give you some encouragement there in preaching the gospel and continue to do it, and there'll be a church there. You're right. God will lead you to a church that will support the ministry of Way of the Master of Living Waters. There are ones out there. I want to encourage you. You can go to the Master's, Google the Master's Seminary. You can go to gty.org, and there you can look for ministry alumni. Gty.org is John MacArthur's church, and you can find the Master Seminary graduates that graduated from the Master Seminary that are teaching and preaching around the United States, and they've planted churches. And they're usually pretty solid about evangelism and everything. And also something that's, it's not really strong, but I would check and call and ask the questions. There's actually a good form you can ask. You probably know about it. Todd Friel has a like a 19 to 25 question page on looking for a new church and what questions you should ask. You can look that up. I believe it's, you go on wretchedradio.com, and they should have it in their favorites. Questions to ask a church before looking for a church, you can call the pastor and ask him. You can also go on to 9marks.org or 9marks.com, Mark Dever's site, and not a lot of those churches, some of them are a little deceiving. They've registered for 9marks, and they don't meet the 9marks of a healthy church. But that's why you should call and talk to the pastor and find out where they're at and how solid they are. So start with the Master Seminary alumni at gty.org. Look for them. And I hope God leads you to a church in your area that you can either they already have this teaching going on in there, or you get solidly fed and you can still go out and do evangelism. Don't quit. I do want to tell you that. I know you probably won't, but don't quit. You can, and God, obviously, anytime I've ever bought tracts, also, God's always provided the money. Always. He always just throws it right out there. He's so faithful in that. When he wants me to have tracts, he helps me purchase them, because I far from have the money for that, but God provides it, so praise him for that. Don't want you to give up. Don't. No matter how big or how small your town is, you need to be reached for the gospel. There's thousands of people in your city that are not reached by Jesus Christ, and possibly in those thousand, there are some that profess to be Christians that are not and that need the gospel badly. So please don't quit. And I agree with Todd Frere when he said we're not called to change a bad church. We're called to find a good church. Excuse me. So go ahead, Melissa.
Some of the things you said, well, right now I'm in between churches because I moved from Hemet. I used to go and call Calvary Chapel Hemet. There's a guy named Brett Coronado who was involved with the Lay a Master there. And now I'm in Long Beach. It's not that I can't find, I think I did find one, but it's kind of hard to get there. Like in the morning on a Sunday, I don't have no car. So maybe I was hoping to move over Artesia because it's a little bit easier to get to the center one that I wanted to go to. It's called Hosanna and Bellflower. I think Ray Comfort used to go to that one too. I don't know if he still does. But still, maybe pray God helps me find a good church around here or someone to help me to get the church too. Because that's hard right now that I'm in between that right now, trying to do that. And another thing is, I would appreciate that. And also another thing is you said about you just mentioned that.
No,
I can't remember what
it's going to be. Well, I was also going to encourage that if you go on ninemarks.org or the Master Seminary and they see churches that their alumni is at, for instance, at gty.org, the alumni who graduated from John MacArthur's school of ministry, go onto the church website, whether it's at Nine Marks, and look at what they believe. Go on there and find out how biblically solid it is, what they believe, what their main goal is, and go from there. And I'm sure you'll find a church in your area you can have dilemmas out there on whether you should drive an hour or drive 45 minutes or drive 30 minutes to a church every Sunday. Is it worth it? That's what I want to ask you. Is it worth it getting fed biblically and having a church to where their main focus is evangelism, which is rare these days. It is rare to find. They are out there. I do want to say they are out there. Our church is out there that focus on evangelism, and you get fed expository preaching, which is a rarity these days. There's very few churches in the United States that are preaching expository preaching, but they're out there. It could be the smallest church in your area, but it could be the most solid one. So tread carefully, because especially if you got a family. You got a family, you have to worry about them and where they're going to be fed. It's not just you. But if it is just you, either way, you've got to worry about being fed. So I do, Laura, I know Laura's in the chat. I do want to give you some encouragement. I have a friend that just texts me. He wants to give you his encouragement in finding a church. You're not going to find a church that is perfect. We know that. Not going to find a church that you agree with everything, but we need to get on the essentials. Are they solid on salvation? Are they solid doctrinally with the with expository preaching? Do they hold a high expectation for its congregation members to learn the Word of God, read the Word of God, pray? Do they take communion? Also, obviously, they observe communion, like I said, and also do they have a high view of Scripture? And the essentials of salvation, obviously, repentance and trust. Do they believe the gospel, that Jesus is God in the flesh, things like that. A good place to go also for finding a church is go on gty.org. And I found an article on there on how to find a church. You can even Google that, how to find a church, or what to do before leaving a church, or when should you leave a church. That's all there at gty.org. You can actually search their page, or search, you can Google that, and it's there. And I learned a lot of stuff on there on when you should find a church, what you should look for in a solid biblical church, and that may help you there, gty.org. You thought about what you remember what you were going to say? Melissa?
No, I was trying to think about it. Maybe
it's just,
it
it's just gone. Okay.
It's gone.
I understand.
Maybe
it happens to me all the time.
I'll bring it up. Yeah. Because you were saying stuff, and then I was thinking of it, and then once I got to the other part, then I just forgot. Oh,
it's tough. It is very tough. Because
I could bring another excerpt from that book if you want.
Answer to Genesis, yeah. Let's recap what you read a minute ago about what we're doing is, in case anyone just joined us, we are reading an excerpt from the Answers book. Is it the Answers book 2 or 1?
It's Answers book for kids, volume 4.
Volume 4, and basically it equips not just kids, but adults for that matter, in answering questions and apologetics. And go ahead and recap what you just read, what question was asked there about God and evil in the world.
The boy asked about why did God create people when he knew they would sin. And basically one of the things he said is bring God glory for them. And let me see. I think that's basically what he said. You remember, what else? The main thing?
No, that was the main question. That was the thing. And we talked about, people praying I think we jumped around to different types of things, why God allows evil. And they answer questions like that. So I'd like to go through some of those. And
I have another one.
You have another one? Okay. We'll go through those. I want to encourage anyone who'd like to call in 347-884-9505. If you have any questions at all, we'll try to answer them the best we can. I'm not the Bible answer man. Neither is Melissa. We will dig into Scripture. We'll find you the answer as biblically as we can. So we don't want to bring slander to the name of Jesus Christ by saying, because if I don't know, I'll tell you, I don't know. I need to study more about it, and I will definitely do it. I will definitely, if I don't know the answer to your question, of anything, we were talking about God and evil and his allowing evil, or any questions that we cover here, or anything else, I'll do my best to study it and to try to get an answer for you as biblically as I can. 347-884-9505, or you can get in our chat, blogtalkradio.com/ Truth Be Told Radio. We have some people in the chat room now and listening. So Melissa, go ahead and go .com, truthbetoldradio.com also. My bad, my fault. Go ahead.
I was going to say there's a button called Click to Talk also. If they want to call from there, they can use their headphones and speakers.
Oh, yeah, you can use your headphones and computer. Yeah, this
new
technology stuff. Yeah, you can get on their website, the Blog Talk Radio website, and click the Click to Talk button. Talk from your PC if you'd like. If you have any questions.
Here we go. The Answer Book for Kids, Volume 4. The second question, this is the very next question that they have from the other one I read. It says, could God forgive our sins without the suffering of Christ? Diane, age 9, Belgium. And it says, answer, this is a verse that starts out with, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. And it says, Cheyenne, when we sin, when anyone sins, we are telling God, our Creator, that we don't want to obey him anymore. Well, because he is our creator, because he is holy and good, he must punish us when we sin. The punishment for sin is serious. Eternal death and separation from God forever. Unless we could offer a perfect sacrifice to God to pay for our sin. But we are not perfect. So what do we do? Well, God had a plan, and it is a plan that provides a perfect sacrifice for you and me. The sacrifice was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus never did one single sin. He never lied, stole anything, or disobeyed his mother. In fact, he is the only person in the whole world who ever lived and did not sin. But he is the one who had to die for our sins. Our sin against God is so bad that it could only be paid for by Jesus Christ, the perfect one, suffering and dying in our place. Because of our sin in Adam, suffering was the consequence, and in one man, Jesus, the full consequence, was taken on our behalf. Jesus paid the price for our sin in full. Therefore, he suffered so that he could defeat suffering for all eternity, for all who will believe. When we trust and believe in him, we can know that our sins are forgiven because Jesus Christ suffered for us and paid sin's penalty. And I'll just add that you need to repent to turn from your sins. And then it says 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'm going to read that. Second Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And then it also says Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So those are the Bible references that it has. And would you like to comment on that? Or is anybody commenting about it? Hello? Anybody there?
Hello, yeah. Sorry, I had myself on mute. Let's recap the question once more for the listeners that may have come
in. This question was about could God forgive our sins without the suffering of Christ? And it was Cheyenne, age 9, Belgium. And the short answer that it gives is an actual verse from the Bible. It says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Acts 4:12. And then, of course, I read the long answer that he gave.
What was the what's the scripture in Corinthians so everyone can write it down if they need it?
2 Corinthians 5:21. And the other one that they have is Romans 5:8.
Romans 5:8. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:21 was well, you go back to 20 for context. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. So, and that's solid, right on, because the fact of the matter is there had to be a perfect sacrifice. There had to be. There's no two ways about it. Christ had to die for our sins because he was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God that had to be slain for the sin of the world. And, yes, someone had to die. Blood must have been shed, And God knew what he was doing for the foundation of the world. He knew what we were going to do. He knew we were going to sin. He knew sin was going to separate us from him eternally. He knew that he had to create a place called hell, and it wasn't created for people. It was created for the devil and his angels, and he knew what had to be done to reconcile man back to God, and that was to send Jesus Christ into the world to live a perfect life and die horribly, horrible death on the cross, and the most important part, rising again from the dead, defeating death and becoming our sacrifice, what we deserve. He took the punishment for. In Romans 5:8, obviously. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So no matter what, we were sinners from the get-go, from conception, from birth. We had corruptible blood. We have corruptible blood. When we repent, turn from our sins, and put our trust in Jesus Christ, we are made whole. Christ's righteousness is put upon us. It's a legal word, the Greek word called imputed, which means credited to. His righteousness is credited to our account once we repent, turn from our sins, and put full trust in Jesus Christ. And yes, it had to be done. I totally agree with what was said there in Answers in Genesis book. It's a solid biblical answer, and use plenty of scripture for that. There's tons. While we were made for him and by him, and the whole book of Colossians talks about, at least the first chapter discusses Jesus, how he is the creator. He was above all things, and so he describes him perfectly. And then you go back to that, even you go even further in Romans chapter 5 and 12. It talks about Adam and all of us. In Adam we die, but in Christ we live by one man. In other words, Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him, Jesus, who was to come. And he goes on to talk about through one man sin entered the world, but through one man we were saved, which is Jesus Christ. And that was God's plan all along. He knew what Adam would do, and he also knew how he had to reconcile us, and he did it. And everything goes right back to him. That's why I was telling the kids today. And everything goes back to God. Everything goes back to him for his glory. That's why we're on this earth, to glorify him. And all things are made by him and for him, seen or unseen, Colossians 1:15 says. Doesn't matter if it's seen or unseen, it's all made for him and by him. And those of us that go around the world and we're prideful and arrogant, and we don't think that, we actually think that there's some of us that, well, God owes me something. God don't owe you anything at all. He don't owe you any explanation. He don't owe you anything. He voluntarily went to the cross and gave his life for you. The sin you're committing right now in his presence, he voluntarily. And I've had some people even proudly say, well, he didn't do that. I don't want anybody to die for me. I don't want anybody. Well, because they don't understand love. They don't understand true love. No greater love is this than someone gives a life for his brother. That's the greatest act of love you can ever. That's the most gracious thing anyone could ever do for you. And sadly enough, in the book of Romans, talks about, even in the first chapter, how people reject that. Why is God? These questions can be answered. These questions, like you just talked about in the first question, why is evil in the world? Why is God allowed evil? And for the fact of the matter is, of this next one that you so aptly answered with the Answers in Genesis. I believe it's, let me find out what exact the website through Answers in Genesis is. I can never remember if it's answersingenesis.org or answersandanswers.com.
I think it's .org.
Yeah, it is. Answersandgenesis.org. ANSWERSINGENESIS.org. And if you're broadcasting, rewind and get the exact address. Or you can Google Answers in Genesis. You can Google Answers in Genesis. Tons of information on there, tons of information, whether you're a skeptic, an atheist, an evolutionist, or a Christian that wants to learn apologetics. That, and you can also go on and Google Christian Worldview Network, which I'm doing right now, and you can get tons of stuff. There's lots of free stuff on there, and the stuff you can order with books and stuff like that through that Brannon, B-R-A-N-N-O-N, Brannon House. is ahead of that. And they even have their own page for Worldview Times. They have articles. You have Worldview Radio. They have their own radio station. Also, you can get that on iTunes. You have Worldview Training. You even have, I think they have their own YouTube page for Christian Worldview. So lots of stuff that you can look and read and resources. Tons of resources out there. I agree with some of the, I've heard some preachers talk about that, and they say, well, you know, there's not enough resources to be able to, but there are. There are tons of resources out there, whether it's to help you get prepared biblically. I'm looking at some of the Worldview Weekends that they're going to have. They're Worldview Weekends. They're going to have those Code Blue rallies, which are awesome. I went to an old Code Blue rally. And a buddy of mine went to there a few years ago in Dayton, Ohio, and it was great. Talked to Brandon, and we got to listen to some stuff, and it was awesome to be able to go to one of those. So ChristianWorldviewNetwork.com. You can learn a little bit more about what they do, Worldview Training, and you can even get their free Worldview Digest for free for your reading. And I've got a bunch of them I pass around and things like that, and it helps people. Apologetics, anything like that. So answersofgenesis.com, Worldview Weekend, ChristianWorldviewNetwork.com. I mean, you check that out. Still uploading stuff as I go along here in the switchboard, messing around. So let's play a song real quick, and then we'll take a quick break. Let's see. We'll play an apologetics song. Apologetics, in case anyone don't know, we do a variety of things. We talk on biblical issues. We read scripture. We're going to do that also. We might, if we have time, listen to some Paul Washer a little bit and Bonnie Baucom, a 38-minute sermon from him. That's pretty powerful. But time to time, also, we try to listen. And Apologetics is a Christian parody band. Just think Weird Al and Billy Graham put together, or Weird Al and You Name the Theologian put them together, and Apologetics are pretty solid in a lot of their lyrics. What they do is they take secular music and they Christianize it, so to speak. They put Christian lyrics in it. They put scripture in it. And apologetics.com is where they're at, www.apologetix.com, to find out where they're going to be at. I'm also very soon starting an apologetics podcast. It's going to be about 15 to 30 minutes, just playing a few of their songs and doing apologetics news. So lead singer of Apologetics, Jay Jackson, has given me free reign to play their music on any of the podcasts I have. I'll take advantage of that now. I want to actually play one of the songs I sang yesterday, if you want to call it singing, from one of their albums. I believe the album is called Spoofernatural, and this song is a parody of a Kiss song, on a rock and roll all night party every day. It's called Love and Kisses, and it talks about two greatest commandments. It talks about a lot about Jesus and his discussions about the two greatest commandments. So let's listen to that right now. You listen to Truth Be Told Radio, 347-884-9505. This is Apologetics with Love and Kisses.
You say you wanna know.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. That was Paul Jacks with Love and Kisses. I don't know why they named it that way. I like the name. I don't know. I have to ask the lead singer, but probably because it has to do with the band Kiss, Love and Kisses, things like that. Because it talks about the two greatest commandments. So, but anyway, I actually want to call it singing, like I said. Sang that yesterday, and the crowd was, I actually ended the day, the talent show, with that song and had all the contestants come up and help me sing it, and I made up motions for the song and everything. It's pretty cool. anyway, I digress. So we'll take a quick break here on Truth Be Told Radio, and I'm doing stuff, downloading left and right. We'll play some Shy Lynn in a little bit, and I'm trying to get some Paul Washer on here now, and we'll play some more Apologetics. Melissa, would you like to say something?
Yeah, I was hoping I could read like two or three more questions later because I found some really good ones that I wanted to read.
Yeah, if you can bookmark them, we still got about an hour and 46 minutes left in the show.
Okay.
I know we'll get to them because they're very important. Just bookmark them and mark them to where you know which ones you're going to do at what time, and we'll kind of spread them out. We did two in the first hour, and we'll do them. We'll do a couple more. That way we'll be able to cover things. And I want to do that. I like to do that every week. So I want to save. I'm sure there's lots of them, but I want to save some. That way we can kind of spread them out and do maybe two or three a week, kind of spread everything out. So I do want to let you know about two books I'm in the midst of. I'm not a huge reader. I read the scriptures to try to get to that. And that's, for me, my attention span, I'm reading the scripture and I'm trying to study that, and that's good. Now, I don't read a lot of books. I've got two or three. One of them I'm supposed to be reading that a woman sent me that I used to go to church with, and I haven't got to it yet. And I apologize for that if she's listening. But that one, it's a book about scripture, about sufficiency of scripture. Also, John MacArthur's new book, The Jesus You Can't Ignore, and the one that Melissa mentioned a minute ago, Already Gone by Ken Ham. In the middle of reading those, I'm a very slow reader. Like I said, my attention span
is...
I'm sorry, what?
I said you could give us a review when you're done.
Yeah, in 2012, maybe. But anyway, I am. I'm my attention span. I have to have an audio book or something because I like putting stuff on my iPod and listening to it, so... I have to try to get the audiobooks of those and listen to them. I haven't even read The Truth War. I've been meaning to read that by John MacArthur before, and that's an older book of his. So I've got that sitting on my desk also. And Kingdom of the Cult by Robbie Zacharias. There's just tons of stuff that I have to get to read. But anyway, I digress. Let's take a quick break. And we'll try to get some stuff loaded up here for you to listen to. Also, we're going to get the answers to Genesis. We still got to read from Tony Maiano's blog, kind of an older post a few days ago called Lord Save People from the Emergent Gospel. And I'll read from Atheist Central, and we'll get into the Project Ezra. I'll explain them what that is in a little bit. We'll get that, and it has to do with scripture reading. So, Melissa, is there anything you want to say before we take a break?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind people if they want to call in. You're listening, if you're listening live now, 347-884-9505. Call us if you like.
Awesome. Yeah, if anybody would like to, like I said, call in. You have any questions, any comments? Like I said, we have one person in the chat room. Laura, if you're not too shy, Laura, you can feel free to call in if you have the ability to. And we can discuss the dilemma we have that, you know, Laura's dilemma with finding a church that is in evangelism, and it's struggling with it, emotional side. She's in club frustration. You know what, Laura, I'm there, and I know a lot of people that are right now. They're in the same spot. So if you'd like to talk on the radio live, if not, you can stick to the chat room. It's no big deal. I understand completely. We can pray with you, pray for you. We're going to be doing that anyway. So by all means, do that. And once again, we'll take a break. The number is 347-884-9505. We'll be right back on Truth Be Told Radio.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
George MacLeod was a great preacher from hundreds of years ago who wasn't afraid to preach the blood of the cross.
He said, "I simply argue that the cross should be raised at the center of the marketplace as well as on the steeple of the church. I am recovering the claim that Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves. On the town's garbage heap, at a crossroad so cosmopolitan, they had to write his title in Hebrew and Latin and Greek. At the kind of a place where cynics talk smut and thieves curse and soldiers gamble. Because that is where he died, and that is what he died for, and that is what he died about. That is where churchmen ought to be, and what churchmen ought to be about."
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com. The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
In the epistle of Paul to Philemon, he says that he has heard of the love and faith which he has toward the Lord and his brethren. Then he says that the sharing of your faith may be effected by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The Greek word for effective means active, operative, and powerful. Isn't that what we want? We want to be active, operative, and powerful in our witness for the gospel.
The key to getting this is clear. Both the love and faith Paul spoke of are not passive. They must have action. If we have love for God and man, we will share our faith, because from love and faith spring the fruits of the Spirit. Love will produce goodness, gentleness, and patience, while faith issues joy and peace.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm Guy Reynolds, a.k.a. General Rich. We have a caller on the line. I don't know if it's our chat person or not. Let's put him on right now. Caller from the 504 area code. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is this Laura?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I was reading a little bit in your chat, Laura, and if you want to explain to, we know how to pray for you now in the situation that you're in, but just kind of talk about that a minute, about the main thing that's going on right now, and obviously what God's going to do. He's going to honor everything you do for Him faithfully. So go ahead and if you can talk about that a couple minutes.
Well, basically, in a nutshell. But a couple of years ago, God was preparing me for this, and I started watching Way of the Master probably 6 months ago, and I never really had the guts to do anything about it. And thinking about going out on the street was just beyond what I thought I could do. And there's no one around here. And I got on the Ambassadors Alliance, and there's just no one around here. But the thing that I was lacking that God needed to give me was love. And this church has been so amazing at giving me the ability to love others. So, you know, and finally God has been really working on my heart to start this. And he told me I would be an evangelist teacher long ago. And I know that I'm not only supposed to go out on the street, but certainly to help train others to do this work. Because I'm in New Orleans and there's just no one here doing this. And so finally, I think, you know, I was waiting and God had been basically telling me just wait. And that was one thing he also was teaching me to do, was wait on him. And a week or two ago, he finally released me and said, okay, go. And so I approached the senior associate pastor, because the senior pastor, you can't get to him. It's too many people in this church. And laid it out for him and gave him the Hell's Best Kept Secret and the other one that Ray Comfort has, and asked him to, you know, watch them. And, well, apparently he caught me last Sunday and said that he watched only a few minutes of Hell's Best Kept Secret. He didn't feel the church, this was the direction that, you know, this is basically what the church vision or something, basically what he was saying was no. And, but he said he would look more at it. Oh, he didn't. He pushed me off to somebody else who, they're basically saying that they don't want to have anything to do with it. And, you know, I know the Bible talks about honoring my authority, and I don't feel right going ahead with something my church leadership is basically diametrically opposed to do. It's a good Bible-based church. The sermons are good, solid meals. It's they're not out there in left field. They're right there, but they just do not do evangelism. And my thrust to them has been no evangelism is apathy, and we have to do something. If you don't necessarily agree with this, but you don't offer any way for anyone to reach the lost. They just don't do that. This church really builds up the body, but not in that regard. And God has just given me this so strongly that finally I had to step out and say, I can't not do this. This is really what I know that the Lord's leading me to do. And you know, in the long run, it's probably the best thing, because then I can get into a church who will not only pray for this ministry, but will help me. I'm not, you know, the greatest financially sound, and, you know, I've gotten as enough tracks as I can, but, and I have not had it out yet, but I will be as soon as it comes in, and I will hold a course, even if it has to be in my living room. But I'm not going to stop doing this. But the thing that's kind of bothering me today was that, you know, when I came to New Orleans, I'm not originally from this area, they were really, they loved on me in a very powerful way. So it's just kind of an emotional day for me, because I know this is from God. I mean, nobody could tell me, you know, I swear I wrote it to them. You know, I know I'm standing on good, solid ground, because, you know, Jesus commanded us to do this work, and you're not. And you're against me even trying. It speaks volumes and where you guys are and where your heart is. And so it's just been a long day. I've had to do this. And and I'm fairly much alone here, because I don't have family. I don't have much in the way of friends. I'm from Canada. So, and I'm working down here. So it's just, but there's also, you know, last night I went on the Ambassadors Alliance and one person friended me on Facebook. Today I have 12. So I know God was really, you know, even before I decided to leave the church, God was already giving me a network of people who believe in evangelism and are doing all they can for evangelism through Way of the Master. And he dropped 12 people in my Facebook to help me and encourage me, and I think really to help me transition through this, because I really believe that it's going to be a while before I find that church. And in the meantime, he's given me a group of believers who I can hold on to while he sets me to another church locally. I don't know where to go. The thing is that every church tells you they're all Bible believing, but then when you get in there, that's when you find out if it's really true or not. So it's a challenge. Anyway, that's basically what's been going on. But, you know, today I had to walk away. Now, I haven't told them officially, but I know I need to leave the church, because I don't want to go against what I believe they would not want me to do this ministry. So I know I need to leave so I won't be under their authority. And I need to honor God.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, without compromising your faith or the gospel, for that matter, if they're not doing evangelism or anything like that. Melissa, you started to talk. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Melissa.
Yeah, it's okay. I just, like, had something I really want to say. I don't know if you heard earlier, but one thing that we were talking about earlier is that if you have gospel tracts, you could there's a letter on Tony Viano's blog, and he it's for your neighbors. Like, if you can't go out there and do it, like at open air preaching, you could send people like anonymous letters and put there's a thing called $1 million bill from livingwaters.com, and he has a whole thing for that. And also, you could the thing I wanted to say is, there is a
gotten in and out.
Yeah,
there's a track place that gives you some free tracks. It's called bezugen.org, bezugen.org, or afterlifetalav.com. And you could get some, they give you some free tracks, like about maybe 100 a month, like in case you don't, like some people can't afford tracks, gospel tracks. So that's a good place to get some. Each, like this month they gave me one for Halloween. They gave me like 100 for Halloween, like some people, like to hand out to people. And in case you didn't hear that, it's Bezugen. It's a German word that means testimony. That's why they use that. bezugen.org or afterlifecatalog.com. And also, I don't know if you heard of Project Ezra. That's what a lot of people do is they give you parts of the Bible to read that like are just like, I guess they express like God's the law and grace. And to read those, just the Bible, just we'll stand up on a little.
Melissa, you're cutting in and out.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
People stand on a box called, and then they do the Project Ezra, and that's where you read parts of the Bible. And so maybe you could do things like that.
You know, I was thinking, and as you were talking and explaining everything, I'm going through the same thing, truthfully, you know, just going through blood frustration situations. And I can't imagine, you know, having any family. And you said that, you know, they're showing you have love for others, things like that. And you know, they're biblically solid on things. And obviously they don't. I don't see very many churches in America at this moment that have a solid grasp and want to do evangelism just full-blown. Not a lot of them. There are some out there. I've got on 9marks.org. Matter of fact, in the chat room, I sent you a link.
Yeah.
I think it's you live in Louis. You're in Louisiana?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I sent a link, and I've got on 9marks before, and seemingly found solid churches, but some of them who have registered on 9marks, they may not be totally solid. So that's why I always ask. I always say go. They have a church website. Go to the church website and find out their beliefs, which I'm on one called Lakeview Christian Center right now, looking at their beliefs.
Yeah.
And obviously, they have phone numbers you can call and talk to the pastor and ask him
questions
about evangelism, things like that. And obviously, too, God, like you said, God's going to lead you. You're going to have two, at this conversation, you're going to have two more Facebook friends you can keep up.
Thank you.
I've gotten tons through, whether it's Ambassadors Alliance Radio or RachelRadio.com, the chat or anything. I've gotten tons of people, and you get tons of encouragement and tons of prayers out there. And you, like I said, you're going to get more prayers here, and the whole five or four people that listen to this radio station.
And
There's lots of people on Facebook who are Christians, and they know Lay the Master's Club, too. So, like, you could connect with them, too.
I have, quite a bit. There, you know, the other thing that I wanted to comment about my church, because this is not about bad-mouthing them. Honestly, it's not. The people that I have met there, these are post-Katrina people. Katrina very much galvanized them. I mean, you can't not be anything but humble when you're in someone's living room for 12 weeks and with 12 other people. I mean, these people had to really come together in fellowship. And I, honestly, and I've said this, and I've lived in many places over the United States. I've been in 42 states. I've lived in six states and one province in the last 10 years. And what I've noticed is these people are the real deal. There's no kind of half two-faced kind of people. You know, sometimes you have these Christians who will say, hi, how are you doing? But they really don't care. These people really care. And I think that's, and I pray that's what I'll find in the next church I go to. It's just I find this leadership is incredibly conservative. And I've also noticed one other thing, that it seems that if unless one of the leaders comes up with an idea, anybody else coming up with it isn't really a good idea. So, but I don't, like I said, I don't want to badmouth them. They have taught me more about love than I've ever learned in my life. God is working through them. But they're not focusing on evangelism. They will not entertain it. That's really why I have to leave. But I appreciate that.
The GTY.org is a good one that you know, you can look for solid biblical stuff on there. There is even a question and answer or a frequently asked questions, and one of those is, when should I find another church, or what should I look for in a church, what to do when leaving a church? That's pretty solid stuff right there. And for finding a church, you can go on that same website, GTY.org, and look up the Master Seminary alumni. Find out there should be some preachers in your area that graduated from there, biblically, so to speak. And you can get on there. And what I would do is I would get on there, and I would also get on Nine Marks, kind of compare the two. If you find that church on Nine Marks, go to that church website, and by all means, check up on their beliefs and what they're teaching and what kind of stuff. You just search the website up and down. Call, ask the pastor questions, because once again, you have to find out, you know, if you're going to be fed. You want to go to a place. It seems like God is moving you on now to do your evangelism, and he's put a fire in you. And obviously, if you know the gospel's moving, God is moving. And if we're just sitting in one place, and I've used this example before with some youth, if you think you're a neutral in the Christian life, you're wrong, because the current is constantly moving. The gospel is constantly moving. God is constantly moving in people's lives. And if we stop what we're doing, then we're going to go backwards. We're not going forward. We need to keep pushing forward and keep striving, and it looks like that's what you're doing, and God's just moving you on. And obviously there's no worldly standard, no good way to how out of the church, so to speak. But, I mean, far biblical way, and the fact of God moving you on. They wouldn't disagree with God moving you on to other areas like evangelism. If that's not their priority right now, obviously, your priority to move where it's going to be priority. And there's no, you know, obviously, you know, there's no bad blood there. There's not going to be. The fact of the matter is, and you're going to keep doing what you do, no matter what, whether people agree with it or not, because you're not going to compromise the gospel, and that's awesome. So I would definitely go on those two sites right now, and a couple bunches of prayer. Obviously, you're going to have people praying for you, but bunches of prayer, lots of soak your time right now. Prayer.
Thank you for being true to God, and because there are a lot of people, I bet, that need God down there in that area especially after that happened. Like, people probably will, like, have questions about God, like, wondering, like, why this happened, and that, like, you know, things. So I'm thankful for God, and thankful that you even want to be obedient, and that God provides for that. Tremendously, I pray.
It's just what I have to do. I don't really have a choice. I have to follow what I know is right in my heart, and that's really the bottom line. And you know, and I thought and I prayed and I've considered this because I really am in reality going against my authority with this church. But I'm thinking this is biblically sound doctrine, and this is what was being taught for 1900 years. So this isn't anything new. It's just been kind of left aside for this, you know, feel-good gospel, and I can't, you know, and I watched success, you know. I posted on Facebook the other day, this girl came to Christ in 2.5 minutes because someone had the guts to stand on the street and talk to her, and even if nobody comes to Christ on my watch, I've done all I can, and that's what I know I need to do, because I can't stand by and do nothing. If people are going to hell on my watch, I can't allow that. I have to do all I can. I know God will honor that.
Your ultimate authority, you got to remember, is God himself.
That's right.
Above the pastor. And what these people need to know, like, they maybe do everything right, and like you said, but, and also, like, maybe they're focusing on entertainment. The entertainment is not going to save them. They're going to be entertained, and they're still going to go to hell if they go without Christ. They do not repent and turn from their sins and trust in Jesus for what he did on the cross. They're going to be all entertained in this life, and they're going to die and go to hell from it.
That's right.
Maybe you could write a letter or something. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if they can't understand that. Maybe that's one part they're not understanding.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've done all I can with this church. I laid it out for them. They're just they're not interested. And it's like, okay, nothing more I can do. You know, you put it out there, and then just walk away. I mean, I can't do it. The Holy Spirit is ultimately the one who brings us home, and he's the ultimately one who leads us and guides our lives. I know these people are in the Spirit, so I pray that in time, if that's God's will for this church to do that work, that it will happen. You know, I don't know. I just said, you know, honestly, for me, it's just, what do I do for me? And what I know I need to do is honor the Lord. And it's been a long time waiting for him. You know, he told me there's so many, 90% of people in churches aren't saved. And that scared me. And then, you know, I watched Paul Washer a year after God tells me this, and I'm like, man, that's, Paul, man, this is, he's so right on. It freaked me out. But I've been on a holding pattern for so long, and suddenly God said, go. And I'm like, oh, okay. But it's just, I almost wish there was some people around here, but I'm honored that God would choose me to do this really at the beginning alone. You know, obviously he has faith and confidence in me, so I thank him for that he'd give me the honor to be the one to hopefully get this going here. And if it's his will, I know it will. But, I want to find a church that, even if they don't cover me financially and help me buy tracts, at least pray with me and walk with me and help me and give me a room to have the training, the one-day training. And I don't want to be, you know, I don't know. I'm not worried about it, you know. I know, learned something recently that, to have the peace of God is an absolute direct connection to your faith in God. So when you have a very powerful faith, you automatically have very powerful peace. So I do have peace in that. But I know my emotions were kind of running high today because I'm going to miss this church. There are good people. But I just know that the Lord's moving me on. So I guess it's just a separation thing going on today. Anyway, appreciate you guys listening.
No problem at all. We understand completely. And you know, I would definitely also, as hard as it may be, still meet with your pastor, call him, have a meeting with him, and let him know what's going on, and tell him, look, you're not going the same direction. You know, there's no sense in, like you said, leaving him with bad blood or saying anything bad about the church. You're just going a different direction than what you're going right now, and you pray that, you know, that obviously you're going the direction God wants you to go. He's pulling you away. He's done that, man. I tell you what, with tons of friends I have, and it has to be God doing it. It's not us, because
no,
if for instance, in me, in a sultry state, I could be real comfortable in a mm-hmm. church with loving and serving and feeding the poor and all that. I could be. But if God hadn't put this fire in my heart for evangelism, then mm-hmm. there's no way I'd be feeling the way I feel right now mm-hmm. towards anything has to do with non-evangelism. God just put that, I believe we're on this earth for that purpose, is evangelism. And obviously there's tons of people that disagree with me. Tons of people right now listening to my voice that disagree with me. But at the same time, they're not going to be the ultimate judge. And what God's put in there, no man can take from it. And I believe that's what you're feeling right now is, you know, what God's put in there. No one's going to be able to, no one can put out, is going to put out that fire.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we can go through times to where, which I have, I've went through plenty of them, where you're going through a kind of a depressed time. You're the only one out there. I felt like the Lone Ranger forever. I'm out here in my small town doing evangelism. I'm the only one out of so many hundred member church. I'm the only one doing it. And you kind of feel like, wow, man, what's going on? You get some encouragement here and there, but then all of a sudden, you want to go out and witness with no, and they don't do it, and you just get depressed. But God has sent me people.
Mm-hmm.
I've got people 20 minutes away from me now that they want to go out, and they go out during the week, and we try to go out and witness together every chance we get. So God will. I know there's people in your area. I'm almost positive that there's people in your area that go out and they witness, and we need to get you connected with them, and God will. Let's go. We'll get through Facebook. I'll let you, if you can, write down my name. It's G.C. Reynolds, G.C. Reynolds. And you can look me up, and maybe we can connect through there. And also Melissa's on my friends on there. And we can get connected that way. And we can get somebody that's in your area. I'm thinking of a couple people that may be in your area. I'm not sure if they're Rusty, a guy named Rusty, and there's a couple other people. So we're going to get you connected. That way you can at least get out. And do you have anybody you go out and witness with, pass out tracts with now?
No, I haven't actually. The tracts are coming. This will be pretty much the first time I'm going out. I have a feeling where I want to do the watering hole, my fishing pond, and hopefully they won't give me any grief going there. It's just a park, but I don't want to go into New Orleans itself. I actually live in the suburbs, and I think God has really kind of given me a gentle hand to start out more in the burbs. But there's plenty of lost people in the burbs just as much as there are in the heart of the city, you know. I think at some point I'll go to the French Quarter, but I think I'd rather have 10 people with me than me going down all by myself. But, you know, if that's what God wants, that's what he'll do, and he'll put that fire in me too, and I'll do it. But, you know, I just want to make a point of saying for everybody out there that I did not enter into this lightly. You know, going against your authority in the church is not something I do lightly. I have a strong belief that we need to honor our authority, that God has put these people in these places on purpose to not only help us, but to protect us and to step away from them and that. I mean, that's a very serious thing to do. So it's not something I have done lightly, and I've really had to think about this. I basically have not gone out all weekend. I've basically just stay at home and just and work this through, but it seems that circumstances in themselves, which I know is God, has led this to happen. But I just want to make that point that I've been in quite a few churches. This will have been my 13th church in 13 years. I've moved all over the country, but you know I've always honored my authority. So, and a lot of times I would just move because of a job. And I had to go, but God has got me here, and there is no one doing this work that I'm aware of. So that would be great if you could hook me up. That would be really great, because I'm new to this in and of itself, but I have the confidence that I never had even just a few weeks ago. So, yeah.
I also want to say there has been times in the Bible, if you read the New Testament and the Bible, where the apostles, they have gone in separate directions, and then actually God brought them back together later. So you never know.
That's true.
But we'll
That's very true. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. You know, I think today's call was more just, I'm standing up against a very large leadership of saying you're not doing it right, and I can't stand by and watch you do nothing. And I know your response to me is going to be sit down and shut up, because we don't do this here. And I can't do that. I can't do that anymore. And you're right, God has put this in my heart in a very powerful way. And nothing's going to stop me.
There's a guy named Coach Baiano.
She says, Ambassadors Alliance. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he says don't quit. And also he says do something. That's good advice, words.
You know, and I've had that. Most of my opposition has not been from atheists. It's not been from evolutionists or anything. It's been from professing Christians. It's been from people saying, I'm a Christian and I don't think what you're doing is right. My question, my response to that is, okay, how would you do it? How do you help people be aware of their sins? How are you doing it? Witness to me. And most likely, that gets them in a tailspin. And they're saying, well, that's not the right way. Well, we're doing it as biblically as we see, and there's no way around it. You must show someone the sin, and you must use the law. And I've been round and round with whether it's church members or a pastor, for that matter, on this issue, and they just end up just changing the subject. They don't want to hear it. You know, I want to know, okay, fine. If you agree with using the law to bring about the knowledge of sin and evangelism, why aren't you doing it? And what are you doing to spread the gospel? And I'm not saying that to my own thing, because I feel like I'm a lazy Christian. I mean, how many things I go out and do it, I still feel like I'm not doing enough for the gospel of Jesus Christ that he can have me do more. So the fact of the matter is, I'm nowhere near perfect in this in any regard. But at the same time, if you sit and do nothing, the devil is just wringing his hands. He's loving it. He's loving it when you sit down and you do nothing. So if any church member or anything is listening to this, you don't agree with it, please. I put my email out here, godsguy@gmail.com. You can email me and tell me where I'm wrong biblically. You must show me biblically where anyone is wrong in this by doing this, and they think, well, that's this Ray Comfort, Kirk Cameron stuff. No, it's been done for over 2,000 years. Using the law and evangelism has been done. It's a biblical method, if so to speak. So for the fact of the matter is, so many people, they're going to be opposed to it, whether it's at churches or Christians. Once again, you just have to shake the dust off your feet. You have to put your hand to the plow and don't look back. And God will, like you said, and I agree with that, God will honor that wholeheartedly. He will. Not just because you think he will honor it. He makes a promise he will. And there's no two ways about it. God's promises are true. He reveals them in our heart. He shows us them in our heart where we know for a fact. In other words, no one's going to come up to you and say, trying to convince you that God's promises aren't true and that he hasn't put this in your heart, because you know by experience he has. So I want to encourage you to go to the site, to Nine Marks and the gty.org, and keep doing what you're doing. Go out. And when's the last time that you said you wanted to teach the way of the master? When's the last time you went through it yourself, kind of as a refresher?
I watched Hell's Best Secret on a flight to training this week. it wasn't long ago. It was just a few days ago I watched it. It just continues to reinforce what I know is right. But I haven't taken the course specifically because, like I said, I'm fairly new. So I'd love to go to California.
Maybe
next year.
You can do it online. You can, not just online, but you can, do you have the basic course?
Oh, is that book? You mean that big fat book?
Yeah. Not
the
School of Biblical Evangelism, but the actual basic training course.
I don't have the, I'm getting the crash course material.
I would definitely go through that yourself. Take all the things that you can and go through it, and that way you're familiar with it in order to teach it. I have to. Anytime I go and try to teach it somewhere, I have to go through and get – and I listen to Hell's Best Secret and True and False Conversions. I listen to them.
over just to do it. And I would suggest, you know, getting some material. There's tons of stuff free online. You can get two free lessons on livingwaters.com. And there's article things you can get to better prepare yourself with where to drop tracks.
Oh, totally. Being a trainer, I've known in my life as being a trainer, you need to know the material about three times better than everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, you always have to be three steps ahead of everyone, and you have to have it cold. You have to know it cold. So there's no doubt, you know, I started going over the Ten Commandments. I now know the Ten Commandments, and I'm pretty much give you which one's which. And that was from last night. I finally sat down and thought, you know, I need to know the Ten Commandments, and I need to know which ones are which.
I
got down to doing that because it's important that, you know, thou shalt not lie. That's number nine. So you need to know that. You know, I think in watching the people fight with people on Way of the Master, certainly not Way of Comfort, but others, I've learned that you really, I think there's an understanding you have to continue to keep hammering the basics, which he does, but still you have to be able to field those questions to a point, you know. But I think it'll come in with time and God's grace. And, you know, the most I do is hand out tracts. It's better than doing nothing. And hopefully some conversations will come out of that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I pray that you keep going out there and you do it and you keep getting used to it because, trust me, I've been through this. You can go stale. And you can just not do it for a while and say, oh, man, where am I at? But if you don't get out and keep doing it and get a rhythm going, so to speak, of passing out tracks and everything, then you can. You can grow stale. And you know, for a while there, I was encouraging people to do it and teaching the class, and I wasn't – I mean, there was a month there where I didn't go out. I think I left tracks places, but I never actually passed them out. I leave them places and things. That's how I started out, is leaving tracks and Walmarts and gas stations and rest stops and you name it, leaving in places. And now I've got to the point to where, you know, start a conversation with someone with the gospel track and everything like that. And it's just little baby steps. But like you, Tony Mignano said, and Todd Free and all them, they, you know, do something
right
now to not do anything. Do something for the gospel and keep it up. Don't shy away from it. And what I love, myself, you're talking about going out for the Ambassadors Alliance. I would love to go out there. I just, you know, I don't have the money right now. If God wants me to do it, He'll provide everything. Everything will be provided. And,
exactly.
And that's the way it's been with me. And I know there's a lot of people like that, that God will provide it. But right now, you're making a difference. I heard a story, and I've told it two or three times this week, about a little boy walking on a beach. And a buddy of mine told me this, so thank you, Chris, for telling me this. A little boy walking on a beach. And the starfish had come up on the beach, and there's hundreds of them. He picks up a starfish and throws it into the ocean. And a guy walks into him as he starts doing this and says, do you think you're actually going to make a difference? Look at the starfish. Look at the beach. There's hundreds of them. They keep washing up on the beach, and you're throwing them back. You think you're actually going to make a difference? And a little boy picks up a starfish and says, I'm going to make a difference with this one, and throws it back. And that's the way it is with us in the world. People can tell us all day, look at all these lost people. They're all heading to hell. You think you're going to make a difference? Well, God has put you in the position you're at right now, in the church you're at, in the town you're at, to do such a thing. And even if it's one person that you affect, it's one person that gets converted out of this, it's well worth it. It's the number one thing. Even if one person hears the gospel and responds. I mean, I look back at Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was told right out by God, you're going to preach the gospel, and by the way, no one's going to listen, and no one's going to get converted. He was told that right off the bat. No one's going to get converted, no one's going to listen, but I need you to still preach. That must have been the hardest thing ever to do, but a man of God or a woman of God still needs to be obedient to that. And I'm glad you're up to this point, and you're still honoring. And this is the best thing, to meet with the pastor, and you're still honoring your authority put it in front of you, and make sure you tell your pastor that, is that I know God wants me to honor you because you've been put in my life, but at this point, God's moving me on. I hope you understand. And obviously, you seem to be able to articulate these things well, so I don't think it would be that bad when you go in this situation, especially soaking it in prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. the Bible says about, like, when one person, like, repents, I'm, like, paraphrasing. It says that, like, all heaven rejoices. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not over. It's just beginning.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's a story that, you know, in the old days when the ships would go to and from England to New York, and he's saying on one side there'd be a whole bunch of wailing and weeping people, but when the people got to the other end, there'd be all these excited, happy people, you know, happy to see them arriving, you know, in port. So it's, it's a chapter. It's just, I've been to so many churches, and it's been a hard walk, but you know, God has been moving so well in my life, so powerfully in my life, and you know, I could tell you stories that just would blow your mind. It's kind of like facing the giant. Seems like everything all came together when he got right, and things had been going for me, and I was saved online in 1996 when the internet was just very, very new, and you know, but I didn't take God seriously, and I didn't honor him, and I certainly didn't know him as Lord and Savior. I was just kind of escaping hell, and that's really, I think of myself back then as a small C Christian. I was really kind of more going through the motions, although I know I had the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, I wasn't really walking in him. I didn't fear the Lord. I didn't respect his authority, and no one ever came up and told me that you're supposed to do that. And just, I think when you hear the Ten Commandments and you know that you're guilty and without Christ you're going to hell and there's no getting out of it, this is the only way you're going to escape that. I wish someone had said it quite right. I wish they had said it like that to me, because I think it would have saved 11 years of not getting it right and walking. And, you know, basically what Paul Washer does now is walk around and tells people this, you know, and hope the Holy Spirit can finally convict them of what they should have been given, which was a proper gospel message when they first came to Christ, or think they did, you know. And I've read so many places where people have been given this message and finally and suddenly realize, hey, I don't think I was actually really ever saved in any real way. And I can attest to that I really wasn't. And I thank God that he gave me another chance. And he said, okay, this is it. Are you going to come on board or are you going to get off? Because I'm done with you otherwise. And I was like, okay, you know, I don't need to be asked twice. I'm here. and he's been really gentle and sweet since then. But, he was very strict with me at the beginning because he, you know, as he said to me, we have 11 years to make up for and got things for you to do. So I've had a long journey to get to New Orleans. You know, I was working in Boston. I lost that job and I went 3 months without any income at all. And literally I was 2 weeks from being homeless when suddenly, you know, in 5 days I had this job, and it was just that fast. And being from Canada, I have to get a visa and stuff, so all that worked out too. And it's just, God has been walking with me, and it's just, it's amazing to see what he does in myself and others around me and what he is doing. You know, I had an encounter on the flight coming back here from my training, a Navy, she was E3, she's like I can't remember, but she works on the flight deck of a carrier, and she just got in, and she was actually flying home to Alabama, and God had told me, just tell her that you pray for her. And that was more the beginning of the flight, but near the end of the flight, God just put this overwhelming desire to be there for her, and I gave her my personal information, I think, because God really led me to do that. And then I said to her at the end, I said, I don't know why God is wanting me to give you this, all my personal information, but if you ever need to call, if you ever need prayer, someone to talk to, I'm here for you. And she says, prayer, that's why God's done that. I need the prayer. And it's like, yeah. I mean, I didn't want to evangelize to her because she had a couple of beers. So she wasn't really quite sober. And I don't think it was time to tell her about the Ten Commandments when she's not quite sober. But at least that, you know, just being there and knowing that God's prompting you and moving on that prompting. And what's the worst thing that happens? She says, no, it's okay. I don't need your information. But, you know, you put yourself out there. And that's what I wish more people would do.
Well,
you know?
I want to know, what's your name again?
Laura.
Laura, thank you for calling. I think we only have like about a minute left.
Oh, dear.
No, it's okay. It's good. Thank you for calling.
We have 59 minutes left.
We like to have... Oh, we do?
That's right.
9 minutes
left? We do. It says,
sorry.
And unless you still
got
the three-hour thing on.
No.
Okay, I don't know why it still says we got 59 minutes. I don't know why.
Maybe I did. It says 59 minutes?
That's what the switchboard says.
Must have saved it as an extra hour. Oh, I didn't know that.
Either way, it says that. But anyway, Laura, I put my information in the chat room on Facebook. I'll add you tonight, and I'll also send the request thing to Melissa or whatever, or you can find Melissa maybe on there.
You could do a friend suggestion. They have that on Facebook.
Yeah, friend suggestion. Yeah, I've contacted a lot of people through Facebook.
Well, I'll give you my name anyways. My name is Melissa, and then it's M-E-L-I-S-S-A, and then you put the initial A, because there's other Melissa Cantrolas out there, so put my initial at A, and my middle name is Ann. C-A-N-C-H-O-L-A is my last name, Cantrola, and once again, Melissa A. Cantrola. And
I just put my name on my Facebook name on the website chat. So you guys, that's there's only one of those because GC Reynolds, there's more than one. So I was like, there's only one of those.
Okay.
There's actually two GC Reynolds.
Oh, wow.
So you're not alone.
Wow,
I didn't know that.
All right, I'm finding you right now as we speak. So.
Okay. Well, I appreciate, you know, this is one of the people that I'm new to Facebook that, you know, friended me last night, talked about this radio program on Blog Talk, and I just clicked on it, and here I am. So that came about because one person friended me, and she was one of the many who friended me after that. All happened last night. So, you know, this is no accident that I'm here. Like everything, God is just completely in control. And I guess I didn't doubt that, but my emotional side just needed to get in line with my spiritual side and just say, relax. There's another church coming. There is definitely, you're going to have support. And just walk in my will, and you can't go wrong. You know? So, throw them out.
Listen to us anytime and call us anytime if you want. You can update us maybe. I enjoyed having you on here a lot, but I think it's good to move on. Thank you so much for being on here.
You got me.
I believe Melissa's already your friend. I see her on here, so it's New Orleans, Louisiana, right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Yeah, I see you've got four mutual friends, so.
There you go.
Awesome.
Maybe,
cool.
Did you talk to somebody yesterday, Melissa? Because I thought I talked to somebody named Laura. Maybe
probably.
Not.
Yeah, it was probably you.
It's more of a God thing than we know, then.
There you go.
Well, Laura, thank you very much. We'll be in prayer. We'll be in contact. You can come in. Next Sunday in the chat room and listen to us and things like that. We appreciate you listening, appreciate you coming on, and appreciate you calling because we all need to be in prayer for situations like this are happening all over the United States.
Yeah.
And as Christians, we need to stick together and pray for one another about these situations and encourage one another.
Yeah, bear each other's burdens to help each other out. That's what God tells us to do. So thank you for calling us and giving us the privilege even to... That it is a privilege because we get to go through to the throne of God and help them straight because of Jesus, he died for us.
Amen.
Awesome. Well,
all right.
We're going to let you go. Actually, we're going to have a word of prayer here after we get off the phone here, and then we're going to take a quick break. But we want to pray about this right now. I'm a believer in and not waiting, because like you said, there's many people in many churches that say, yeah, I'll pray for you. and they don't even write your name down. They don't put it, you know, and it just don't happen.
That's right.
Believe in doing it right now. Matter of fact, we'll do it right now with you on the phone, and it's a pleasure. So let's go to the Lord right now. Heavenly Father, we're coming for you, Lord God, and I just I thank you and glorify you for Laura, Lord, and what you've done in her life, and for saving her, Lord God, for bringing her where she's at right now, Lord, because it doesn't matter where she was at before, Lord God, whether it was in your will or out of your will, right now she has that fire. Right now you're growing her heart, Lord God, and I pray that you continue to grow Laura's heart, Lord, that you would lead her. You would provide the church, wherever it may be, and you would send her people right now, Lord God. You're already working in that. I know, Lord, that you would send her people when things are working. You've given her a peace already, Lord God, and you're working in her spirit, in her heart, to know that everything's going to be okay, Lord God, that you are in control. You are sovereign. You're over every bit of every part of Laura's life, Lord God. And I thank you and glorify you for that, Lord. I pray that you would give her strength, you would give her endurance, and you would give her your wisdom in spreading the gospel in her city and her area. I thank you and glorify you. And I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless you both.
God bless you.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Melissa, it does say 53 minutes remaining, so we're still on live.
We could take a break.
On live now.
Yeah, we could take a break and then maybe read some more from that little book or something or whatever you want.
Okay, no problem. We've got a couple things queued up here. I think I've got a couple Paul Washer thing going on. We can pray for a little bit of Paul Washer. And it actually goes along. I was looking for something while we were talking, and it goes along with what we were talking about, Preachers and the Cross by Paul Washer. It's a little small thing. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Truth Be Told Radio.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
In the epistle of Paul to Philemon, he says that he has heard of the love and faith which he has toward the Lord and his brethren. Then he says that the sharing of your faith may be effected by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The Greek word for effective means active, operative, and powerful. Isn't that what we want? We want to be active, operative, and powerful in our witness for the gospel.
The key to getting this is clear. Both the love and faith Paul spoke of are not passive. They must have action. If we have love for God and man, we will share our faith, because from love and faith spring the fruits of the Spirit. Love will produce goodness, gentleness, and patience, while faith issues joy and peace.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by wayofthemasterradio.com.
Does the number of people praying for something make God more likely to do it? That is a very good question. I thought a lot about that early on when I came to Bethlehem, and I preached a sermon called The Line of Prayer. And I think we probably have it on the web, but in the manuscript that was published 25 years ago, I drew it, the line of prayer, and it was based on 2 Corinthians, I think, verse 11 of chapter 1. And it said, join me in praying so that when God answers, God will be glorified in answering many prayers. The very argument, I mean, this is where this question comes from, because Paul thinks God gets more glory if many people are praying for a thing and he does it, then if two people are praying for things. Because now this whole group is saying, praise God for answering the prayer. And over here you got two people, praise God for answering the prayer. And God loves it when lots of people praise him. So if it's true that God may be inclined to answer something because more people are praying, it wouldn't be because more people twist his arm and like they've gotten more power with him, but rather he's foreseeing the kind of effects that would come from a broadly prayed for thing than a narrowly prayed for thing. Now, so I'm answering, sometimes God may in fact answer a prayer because more people are praying. But there's other factors, right? Like faith and desperation. I mean, you've got a solitary soul desperate for God because of something's coming at them in life, and they're crying out to God. That person's faith and that person's need is vastly more, I think, constraining in the way God processes prayer than if he were kind of cavalier and calls somebody up and let's get five or six. And in other words, there are more things than numbers going on when we pray. Pray believing, Paul said, and you have it. So faith matters. And if you go and read 2 Corinthians 1:11, if I'm right about the verse, you'll see the other factor does matter.
This podcast is part of the MyPodcast.com network. Go online right now and get your very own 100% free podcast, MyPodcast.com.
Your best life now? I will not lose sleep tonight. Worried about your best life now? I will not pray tonight for tomorrow. Worried about their best life now, or whether they have self-esteem, or their checkbook is balanced, or they've got 40 days or 90 days or 100 days of purpose in their life. I will lose sleep because one day every one of you will stand before God naked and be judged, and some of you will be cast into hell. Preachers, you're not professionals. You're not businessmen. You're not little boys running around serving the community. You're prophets or you're nothing. To bring a word from God, these are people dying. The wrath of God lays waste to your community. Even as we speak, how many people will be swept away, even today, by the wrath of God through death in hell. And you're worried about whether or not someone feels good about themselves? And you say, yes, Brother Paul, you're exactly right. God hates the sin and loves the sinner. Well, that looks good on the back of a Christian t-shirt, but that's not biblical. The Bible does not say that God hates the sin and loves the sinner. The Bible says God hates the sinner. Look in Psalms 5. Just look there for a moment. Psalms 5, verse 5. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. In another translation, you hate all who do wrong. Now, does it say here that God hates the sin or that God hates the sinner? He said, Brother Paul, but what about John 3:16? It's in the book, God so loved the world. Yes, it's in the book, but so is Psalms 5. But God is merciful and a loving God. What about that? Yes, that's true, and we're going to talk about it, but you can't understand it until you understand the full counsel of God. God is love, but this loving God hates. God is merciful, but he is angry. You see, you just can't take one side of the coin, not just one part of the story, and that's the problem today. If you're saved here today, you are not saved because the Romans nailed Jesus to a tree. You are not saved because the Jews whipped him or beat him. If you are saved here today, it's because when he was on that tree, he bore our sin and his own Father crushed him. We are not saved because of what the Romans did to Jesus. We're saved because of what God did to Jesus. He slaughtered his only begotten Son. Think about it for a moment. He's on that tree, and he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I hear so many preachers say, God the Father looked at his Son, and when he saw all the wounds and the suffering, he turned away because he couldn't bear to see it anymore. That is a romantic lie. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus himself bore witness that the Father utterly forsook him. Why? Because he became sin. He was bearing your sin. He became the scapegoat. He became the worm. He became the serpent lifted up in the wilderness. You've heard the story of Abraham and his son. Go up to that mountain and slaughter your only son.
Abraham goes to that mountain in obedience. He ties his son down. His son offers no resistance, it seems. And the old man goes for the knife, lays his hand upon the brow of his son, and as the hand comes down, he is stopped. God will provide. And you say, oh, what a wonderful story. There it was, the animal there trapped by its horns in the bush. What a wonderful ending to the story. It wasn't the ending. It was the intermission. Hundreds of years later, on a hill called Calvary, God the Father laid his hand on the head of his only begotten son, and he slaughtered him. Someone had to die. You see, this is the cross that all these modern day preachers put in the back of the store and not in the storefront window, because it's a shameful thing. It's a horrid thing. It's a terrible thing. Some of you are looking at each other as though, I've never heard anything like this before. Absolutely, and that's why the cross has so little power in your life. When theologians talk about the perfect sacrifice of Christ, they're not just saying he was sinless. They're also talking about the infinite value of the life given. You take a gigantic cosmic scale. You put everything in it that you can find. You put stars and galaxies, suns and moons and planets and earth, mountains and molehills, moths and men, crickets and clowns, everything you can find, dust and rocks of granite, everything you can find of creation, and you put it in a scale, and you put Jesus on the other side, and he outweighs them all. It's his value. He's God. His worth cannot be valued, nor can it be emptied or compared. You see the preciousness of Christ. Someone had to die there that was a man. Someone had to die there that was God. And Christ fulfills both of those.
Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm Guy Reynolds, and along with Melissa Canchola, who's the host. Yeah. Well, that was the first punch in the face by Paul Washer. And I'm going to quickly play the second punch in the face so you know what's coming at you. This is called Truth.
Is the desperate thrust of a helpless soul upon the arms of an almighty Savior. Are you doing what Jesus, who speaks the words of the Father, are you doing what he says? Seek first the kingdom of God. Are you taking every step necessary to stop feeding your lust in God's name? You sit through another service and stand by a signpost that points you away from hell and the wrath of God and to heaven and life and forgiveness and hug death to your breast. Oh, the madnesses. You are a vile, filthy, helpless, hell-deserving, wretched son or daughter of Adam. You know nothing of true repentance and therefore of true and saving faith. Or you just occasionally have a little whimper in the closet when your conscience gets so active you can't live with it. And you whimper and cry and ask God for a little help, and then you go right back with your hand and your eyeball firmly attached. Oh yes, once in a while you take a dull paring knife and scratch your hand. And occasionally you scratch around your eyeball, but you haven't begun to come off and cry out. You better listen to the words of Jesus. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. If ye by the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. The cross does not give us a minor shift or two with regard to a few of our ethical and moral and religious values. The cross radically disrupts the very center and citadel of your life from self to Christ. And if the cross has not done that, you're not a Christian! My friend, face it! Young or old, you're not a Christian! Until the cross has radically disrupted the very center and citadel of your life and brought you from a life of commitment to serve self, whether it's religious self, moral self, proud self, covetous self, lustful self, prideful self, unforgiving self, lazy self, it doesn't matter what are the focal points of the reign of your self. If you've gone to the cross in union with Christ, it's been shattered. I want you in that day when you stand with me before the judge of the world to have him say, "Come, you blessed. Come, you blessed." I don't want to look at you standing there saying, "Lord, Lord, 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 I named you in earth. I named you before the elders. I named you before the church. I named you in prayer meeting. I named you in witness. And Lord, now, Lord, Lord, did I not this? Did I not that?" I don't want to hear him say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You worker of iniquity. You never were made a doer of the will of God. You learned enough, and you learned what to say properly enough to be accepted for what you professed yourself to be on earth. But now the day of judgment has come, and the truth is now to be known."
For more media content from Grace Community Church in San Antonio, Texas, go to gccsatx.com.
Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. That was the second punch in the face. I'm not sure.
If you're not convicted by that, maybe you're not breathing.
Yeah, check your, get a mirror underneath your...
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was those two things just hit you right in the head. And just about anything that Paul Washer says does that to me. But at the same time, that one, I don't know who that preacher is, but I've got that off of IllBeHonest.com. I can find out who it is and get back with you on that.
I think I've heard that before, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard it. I can hear it. Now, the thing that really gets me on that is when he talks about sitting in the pew week after week, and when your conscience gets to you, you scratch your eyeball with a dull paring knife. You scratch your eyeball, but you haven't begun to pluck it out. And that goes along with Scripture in Matthew. It says, if your eye causes you to sin, to pluck it out, for it's better to enter the kingdom with one eye than kingdom of heaven with one eye than the hell with both eyes. And it says the same thing about your hand, pluck it out. And it's a metaphor, it's a symbol of what we're supposed to do with sin. Yeah.
I was wondering if I could read the other questions from the can you bring up BibleGateway.com so that you can look up the verses when I tell you?
Sure. Yeah, I'm going there now.
Okay. Well, this is I read some earlier two questions. Answers Book for Kids, Volume 4, from Ken Ham, and it says with Cindy Malott, M-A-L-O-T-T. And there's about three questions I'm going to read, like, all at once, just to do some quick punches like you do with the Paul Washer and other man who preached. Because I thought they were, like, really good ones, because I looked through the whole book, and I saw these ones, and I thought they were good. Here's the first question. It says, why isn't Satan the first sin instead of Adam and Eve? That's good. Yes, a really good question. I think I probably wondered about this too. Ben F., age 7, California, USA. And here's the answer. First, he uses the verse. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Romans 5:12. And he goes on to say, sin actually entered the world through one man, Adam. Adam was God's special creation, the first, very first man. When Adam was created on day 6, God said that he was to rule over all the earth and all that was on it. God also clearly told Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree, and if he ate, he would surely die. Adam was one who was given the instruction to obey what God said. So because Adam was told to obey, and Adam chose to disobey and eat the fruit, and Adam was given dominion to rule over the earth, Adam gets the blame for sin. Sin entered the world to all of us through Adam because we are his descendants. So what about Satan? He was not the father of the human race. It was Adam. He had not been given dominion over all the earth. That was Adam too. And so he is not the one responsible for sin in our world today. Adam's sin is considered the first sin. His is the sin that brought judgment on the human race and, in fact, on the entire creation. It is also important to understand that there is no way for Satan or fallen angels to have salvation. They have already been judged and thrown from heaven. Humans can have their sins forgiven. Therefore, the way God deals with humans is different from the way he deals with angels. And then the verses they give, the first one is Genesis 1:26. And are you there?
Yeah, Genesis 1:26.
Yeah.
Searching. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and all over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
Yeah, that's good. Genesis 2:16 and 17.
16 and 17?
Yeah.
The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die.
And the last one they have for this question is Romans 8:22.
Verse 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now.
And this is from Answers Book of for Kids, Volume 4, Ken Ham and Cindy Mallett, M-A-L-O-T-T. And next question actually goes with this one. It says, if God is perfect and there was no sin, then where did the sin come from that entered into Lucifer's heart when he became vain? Wesley H., age 10, Mississippi, USA. The answer starts with the verse says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Colossians 1:16. It says, God is perfect. We know that. Your question, Wesley,
talks about Lucifer's sin and Lucifer's heart. This is where we need to be careful. Yes, the Bible tells us some things about Lucifer, Satan, and angels, but it is not a book about angels. God tells us in His Word that angels are created beings. They can never be like God. They are not all-powerful or all-knowing. Because they are not all-powerful, they can choose evil. Lucifer chose to turn away from God and became evil. He wanted Adam and Eve to turn away from God by disobeying Him. And Satan is still trying to get people to turn away from God today. I believe that the sin and vanity in Lucifer's heart came when he chose evil over good and stopped glorifying the one who created him, the one who is all good and holy. Lucifer's rebellion was his own choice to turn against God. Because Adam listened to Satan instead of God, sin was brought into creation. And please remember that although the Bible does tell us a little about angels, it is really a book about God and His wonderful plan to save people like you and me through Jesus Christ. And the verses that starts with is Jude 6. Jude 6.
Jude 6, okay. And angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day.
Next one is Genesis 3:1.
Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden?"
And the last one that they used is John 17:3.
This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
The last question, there's one more I'm going to do. Then we'll do the next one, but then we'll probably do more in a week after that. Is how do we know other religions aren't true? James, age 9, Ohio, USA. Answer, which starts with the verse again, is, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. No religion other than Christianity has a book like the Bible that tells us about the origin of everything and who we are, where we came from, what our problem is, sin, and what the solution to our sin problem is. No other religion has a Savior who is alive. He rose from the dead. All other religions require people to do something to work out their future. Only Christianity has a solution that we can't save ourselves. Only God can do it. So how can we know if other religions aren't true? Well, if they don't agree with the Bible, they are not true. There are two main tests I want you to use. So, first of all, any religion that claims to be true must believe that Jesus is God. Remember, Jesus himself told us that he and the Father are one. Many religions talk about God a lot, but if they don't believe in Jesus and that he is God, and they don't believe that Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection results in our sin being forgiven, if we will receive it, then it is not the truth. The other test is to find out if they believe that salvation is given to those who trust in Jesus. There is nothing you can do to save yourself. We could never do enough good works to get us to heaven, but Jesus did it when he died for us. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And then it says, for the scripture references, says,
John 10:30.
John 10:30. Okay.
That's 10:30.
Recognize that verse. I and the Father are one. It's just one of many verses of Jesus claiming deity. People.
And then it has from the same book, John 14:6.
Yeah, John 14:6. I can go ahead and recite that right now.
Okay.
Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
And the last one, Ephesians 2:8-9.
Ephesians 2:8-9. For it's by grace you've been saved. It is a gift of God. Not of works, so that none can boast.
Yeah, it's like they said, we can't do good enough. But anyone, as the Bible says, it says filthy rags, and to be more explicit, it's like a used menstrual cloth that Bible.
Exactly what it, yeah. Exactly what.
And I from experience, know that that is not good. It's stinky. And there you go with your some apologetic lessons from Answers Book for Kids, Volume 4, 22 Questions from Kids on Sin, Salvation, and Christian Life by Ken Ham and with Cindy Mallett, M-A-L-O-T-T. You can get these on masterbooks.net and answersingenesis.org. You can order them. There's also one for grown-ups, just a regular one called Answers. And they make it very easy to understand. And we're better probably read like maybe one each week within those next following weeks to spread it out more. But I just wanted to read those, the ones that I read today, because I thought they were really good ones.
Yeah. Yeah, so, they are. We'll, from this point on, we got a little introduction to it, and from this point on, we'll do one or two per week.
Yeah.
I didn't. Like I said, I had no idea this. The you had it on for 3 hours. If you want me, and if you wanted to, you get the internet back. You can switch it back to 2 hours.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I did that by accident when I scheduled that one.
That's no problem. That's no problem. Let's go on to a song real quick by Shylin. And we're speaking of the gospel. That's what the song's called. Is the gospel. Go on. Shylin, I believe, has a MySpace. You can Google Shylin. The song's called "The Gospel" on Truth Be Told Radio.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Alright, look, y'all, it's interesting what MCs go out of their way to mention. All day on the radio, sin without flinching. Some have a penchant for dissension, or perhaps some invention on how they stand at the latest players' convention. Intention might as well be salvation prevention. Soul food cooking up in hell's kitchen, smell dissension. Then you got the neo-soul poetry slam pretension. Quote-unquote conscious MCs speak on lynchings. In the next sentence, brag about how they got the game crinched in. Bloodcast chronicle ghetto tension. All of this is just the physical extension of the spiritual dimension. But now we talking about redemption. Cause nothing's more important than the state of your soul. Not the way that you roll, or the way that you hold. The cake that you sold will make you go straight to the hole, awaiting parole. Now tell me who's taking control. We breaking the mold for real, not your typical youth. Dropping biblical truth with analytical proof. So one for the purity, two for the unity, three for the faith, and four for humility. I get up on the mic and speak on man's inability to come to God on his own, and cats ain't feeling me. Man cheated on God like Bill did to Hillary, and got the nerve to beep when he break out heavy artillery. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and viciousness of hypocrites who suppress the truth and wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because he made it plain to them in their craniums. Yo, you can't look at nature and not see God's glory. His infinite being manifested in his story. From the farthest reaches of the
universe back to earth, which has in fact been cursed because of sinful men trying to make mockery of God's grace, relying, hating, debauchery, greed, jealousy, strife, evil. All types of people live life that's illegal. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless, intenseness, opaqueness, and darkness. No excuses. We glamorize sin and spend the wise men, analyze the Ten Commandments. Any surprise then? God hates these things and he's not budging. If you live like this, how will you escape God's judgment? Somebody said, but wait, I'm a good person. I'm not a murderer, a perjurer, or a burglar. Consider the standard by which you measure your goodness. Don't flatter yourself, for real, only one opinion matters. That's God. He says that no one is good. Whether priest or common hood, far east or Hollywood, doesn't make a difference. What will it take for you to listen to me? God has spoken, and this is the decree. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh, sovereign over all territory. Perfectly holy, righteous, eternally, infinite knowledge. He reigns universally, unfathomable understanding. He's got this pure perfection, personified, spotless, everywhere at once, supreme superiority. How dare the creature usurp his authority? If you have any idea who you're dealing with, sooner or later, everybody will be feeling it. Yo, without perfection, we will never enter his presence or taste heaven's essence, spiritual effervescence. Sinners can't avoid God telling them to stay out. Grim situation, I think we need a way out. Look to the rescue, it's Jesus Christ, holding in his right hand the keys to life. God in the flesh, giving all he had to give. He lived the perfect life that no other man can live, fulfilling what was spoken through the prophet's faith, so that on judgment day, a swap takes place. Jesus got the punishment, believers get eternal life. All you got to do is place your trust in Christ. That's the good news, but not everybody can hear it. But those God chose get drawn by his spirit. Don't take my word for it, take your Bible off the shelf. Blow the dust off of it and read it for yourself. Prepare to get the key that unlocks the mystery of life. Victory awaits, and this is what you'll see. The truth and perception rarely ever coincide. Christ's arms are open wide, go inside. If you're unsaved, listening to this, the great physician has got the medicine. He's knocking at your door, let him in. And you can sit down and eat a meal together. That's my word in his presence, keep it real forever, y'all.
Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. Guy, are you there?
Yeah, that was Shy of Man.
I know, that's pretty cool. It's in a thump. That's one also, what I was thinking we could do is you could pray the devotee welcome, and if we could just like hang up and just let it play it out.
Now, does the show still go on if you hang up, though?
Yeah, it just it plays whatever you have going on.
Okay, I thought you still had to. I thought the host still had to be on the switchboard.
No, I don't think so.
Have you ever hung up before and kept playing something and said the podcast before and?
Actually, no.
Okay, I don't know if I'd take that chance. That's just me, though.
Okay.
Of doing that. I mean, unless you want to just go ahead and leave your phone on and we'll play it.
Yeah.
And we'll leave your phone on for that extra hour. And that way, you know, it's and when it's over, you just turn your phone off. That way, you know, it's got it. Anyway, it's probably something we shouldn't have talked about on air, but either way, yeah. We could play that. Let's go out with a bang here. I'm gonna play two things in a row. I'm gonna play the last apologetic song, which is talking about heaven, and you'll recognize the song as soon as it comes on. It's actually a parody from a Guns N' Roses song called Paradise City, and it's called Very Nice City. Play that, and then right after that, boom, we'll go right into Vaulty Welcome. It's the centrality of the home. So you can get a hold of us, truthbetoldradio.com. Catch me on Facebook, GC Reynolds. Melissa Canchola is on there also. Just search her name. She should be the only one in. I believe you. Since I'm not the only GC Reynolds, I thought I was, but
yeah, that's why I added my middle initial to it. It's A.
Melissa A. Canchola. Okay, yeah, cool.
And just A don't fit. That's my middle name.
We're on Sundays. On Pacific time, 2:30 to 4:30, or is it 2 to 4:30, or 2 to 4, sorry, and from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time, where I'm at, 5 to 7 p.m. We went an extra hour tonight, which was all right because it was Spirit-led. I believe that God led Laura to call. Thank you for calling again, Laura. We'll continue to be praying. Yeah. I'm already starting to get...
She encouraged me a lot.
I'm sorry?
She encouraged me a lot.
Yeah, and she does. I believe that's what we're here to do for each other, is to encourage one another in the Lord. And so without further ado, we'll go in. God bless you all. Stay faithful. We'll talk to you next Sunday, Lord willing. And please give some extra encouragement. Don't give up. If you're out there spreading the gospel, you think you're the only one out there, you're passing out tracts. We're witnessing to people. Don't stop doing it, please. Even if you're the only one out there doing it, no matter what, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. If you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. This is Guy Reynolds for Truth Be Told Radio and Melissa Canchola. Melissa, you there?
Yeah.
I was
no,
going to have
I said
you
like
say...
that. I said, sorry. You said the little boy saying that he wants to make a difference for that one. Well, you can make a difference for just one person. That you never know. You don't know who you're really preaching to. Like,
I've seen God direct people straight to me. Then I've also, I've went out and actually went out fishing and gotting, and God sent you to them that way. Sent you to them that way. So either way, do something. If you don't have a ministry, get one. I'm not saying start a church. I'm saying get a ministry. Let it be about evangelism, about preaching the gospel, right, and preaching it biblically. So next time, we're going to play these couple things in a row. This is Truth Be Told Radio. I'm Guy Reynolds, and she is Melissa Canchola. Good night. Great. Well, it's not good night there where you're at, but good night where I'm at. God bless.
Take me up to the very next city where the Bible starts with a new beginning. Take me. If you're interested in this or other CD messages, go to vodibaucham.org, VODIBAUCHAM.ORG.
Papa got some business back in 1953.
Well, good evening. It is good to be here with you this evening. If I'd had an opportunity and was ready to come, been able to come and get right in line with the theme and do what I always try to do, which is preach what I'm asked to preach, but they didn't ask me to preach anything, they just asked me to come. So you get what I've been sitting on and what I've been living with. I hope that's all right. If you'll allow me, I see my former pastor, Dr. John Morgan, and his lovely wife sitting up here in the front row, and you need to know that one of the greatest periods of ministry in my life was the time that I spent as a teaching pastor at Sagemont Church in Houston, and much of what I am today is because of my time there. You know, there are two sides of my life. That's this one side where cultural apologetics is what I live and breathe and teach and preach. And there's the other side where I'm Bridget's husband and Jasmine and Trey and Elijah's father. And by the way, we have another baby who will be here